Okay, so in the new style of this year, the way it's going to go is it's going to be like one big vort, but it's going to be different vorts combined into one big thing. We have to understand something that this is the simplest question in the world. It should be the first question anybody asks when you see this parsha, and it's pashut, but there's issues with the whole parsha because of it. Hashem said to Avram, go for yourself from your land, from your birthplace, from the house of your father to the land that I will show you. Now, right after that, he says, I'll make you into a huge nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name big, I'll make you famous, and you'll have only brachas. What kind of a test is this? What kind of a nisayon is this? It's supposed to be the first nisayon, maybe the second nisayon, depending on the kifshan ayish, and it's supposed to be the most powerful nisayon. There's a machlokis in the midrashim. Which was greater, the akedah or lech lecha? What kind of an insight is that? If I was 75 years old and still living at my parents' house, I would leave. It's not that big of an insight for me to get up and leave. What kind of a test is this? That all of a sudden Avram's like, oh, what? Can't believe it. Sacrificing your kid, that's good. But leaving your parents' house, that's crazy. I can't believe he did that. It's just the most ridiculous. What is it? What is this test that's so great? Plus, he tells him, I'm going to take you to the greatest land in the world. God goes out to you and says, I'm taking you to the Caribbean islands. You don't have to pay for any airfare. Don't worry about it. Just take yourself over there. You just get to chill out for the rest of your life. Everything's going to be good. You're going to be rich. You'll have fame. You'll have children. You weren't able to have children up until you have kids. Everything you want, you will get. And that's a test? That's a test. What in the world kind of a test is that? So I have three answers. Two of them are old tests. One of them is a bomb. It's just a bomb. Chassam Sofer says, the Chassam Sofer, I said this 2 years ago, I think, it's a mashal to an eved. A guy is an eved, he's a slave, and a guy goes up to him and says, I want to give you a job. He says, but I don't know what job you fit best into, so I'm going to offer you, can make $5 an hour, $10 an hour, $15 an hour, or $50 an hour. Which one do you want? The eved thinks for a little bit, and he says, I want the $5 an hour job. So the guy who's offering the job, the boss, said, well, what do you mean, the $5 job? You don't want to make more than that? He said, well, I want to take the job with the least amount of responsibility. If you're offering me a $50 job, $50 an hour job, that means that there must be a ton of responsibility. And I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. I want to start off low, and then I'll see if I can make it. And if I can make it from there, then I'll go higher than that. So too over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes up to him and says, I want to give you Eretz Yisrael. It's the greatest land in the world. And if you go there, you're going to get this. He's going to give him all these rewards. So Avram knows, he's thinking to himself, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to work like mad to be able to make whatever I need to make in all this. It's just not going to, I'm going to have to, it's going to be the craziest trip of all time. There's going to be issues, there's going to be things. I'm going to have to do crazy things in order to deserve children, fame, and fortune. I'm going to have to do these unbelievable things. So you'd think that Avram would have a little bit of a hesitation of, wait a second, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? That's what he should have asked. And the Chassam Sofer says, because he didn't ask, even though he knew it was going to be impossible, that was an Nisayon. Was he going to ask? And when he didn't ask, he passed the test. That was the test. The Maskil of David says, that wasn't an Nisayon. The Nisayon was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hyped it up. It's like, I always love it, when before I went to Eretz Yisrael, everybody used to say, KFC is awesome. KFC is awesome. That's what everybody used to tell me. That there's nothing like KFC. Nothing like KFC, there's nothing like it in the entire world. And I went there, and I was expecting was God coming down and serving me chicken. That's what I was basically expecting. Because when you hear all these rumors of this guy telling you this and that and the other, like eventually you sit there and you think to yourself, this has got to be the best thing of all time. It's not going to be any better. So I go there and I go and I have it and it's not as good. Another example, a famous example. Everybody tells everyone else about Ken's and about the salami. Okay, Romanian salami, it works because there's nothing better than Romanian salami. But everybody tells everybody about Ken's. A guy comes from out of town and he goes into Ken's, right? He's expecting the greatest burger of all time. So he'll go in there and he'll taste it. He'll be like, well, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not the greatest burger of all time. It's pretty good. When you hype it up, you're in for a fall. You're in for a fall. Something's happening. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went up to Avram, and he's like, it's the greatest land of all time. There's nothing wrong with this land. You're going to have all good things inside this land. When it didn't happen immediately, and when he looked at the land and he saw there were problems, Avram should have thought, there's something wrong here. I thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me it was the perfect land. That's what he should have did. Says the Maskil of David, he didn't say that, and that was the test. When he saw the land after it was hyped up so much, was he going to complain? He didn't complain, and that's that. That's why, by the way, it says over here, When Avram went out, he says, where is it? Here we go. Vayetzu lelechas arza kena'an, vayavo arza kena'an. Arza kena'an and arza kena'an. What's the difference between them? A patach and a komatz. That's the difference. What's the difference? Because when they went in patach, with open eyes, waiting to see what a Kadosh Baruch Hu saw them. But when they got in, they saw komatz. It was stingy. It was closed up. It wasn't what they expected. It wasn't the land that a Kadosh Baruch Hu had promised them. So they sat there and they said, this isn't it. Everybody else said that, but Avram didn't. Avram said, this is unbelievable, and he only saw the good, didn't see any bad, and that was the test. Now, both those answers are good. Chassam Sofer and the Moscow Governor are both great answers. The problem is, both them don't directly answer the question. What was the test? The test wasn't the going. The test was not complaining. The test was not, you know, losing the hype, not losing what was happening. But that's not, what was the test? The nisayon was lech lecha, to go. And that wasn't really a test. So what's the problem with it? So here we go. This is the Maharil. Chassidus HaTorah. I absolutely love it. The Maharil says the following. He says it in Pasuk Dalet. He says, Pasuk Dalet says, Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. As God told him. As God told him to do. Did you expect anything different? Did you really expect him to do anything else? Kasher diber elav Hashem is really necessary over here? That he did what God told him to do? What else does he expect? What are we getting from that? And then, after all these brachos, I mean, Rashi says them. Rashi says what the brachos are. He says, we're talking about children, we're talking about this. And then all of a sudden, there's a davar acher in Rashi. And what does a davar acher mean? I got another pshat. Davar acher, Elokei Avram. Davar acher, Elokei Yitzchak. That's chalagoy gadol zel shomrin Elokei Avram. Vavarecha zel shomrin Elokei Yitzchak. Vagad lo shemacha zel shomrin Elokei Yaakov. Maybe you should end with all them? No, you're going to be ending off, it's Magen Avram. We're going to end off with Magen Avram. What in the world kind of a medrash is that? That's definitely not pashup shad. The pashup shad in the pasuk is, I'm going to make you great, I'm going to give you fame, I'm going to give you fortune, I'm going to give you all the good things in the world. That's the pashup shad. That's what he said up until now. What's that davar acher for? Is he just trying to tell us another medrash? I mean, there are tons of midrashim on Lech Lecha. You could have chosen any one of 50 midrashim. Why did he choose this one of Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Why did he go with this one? That's Maral's question. So here's the answer. There are two ways of doing something. But the way that a person is supposed to really do his avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to really serve God, is to do it purely l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. No other reason involved. If there's any tiny little bit of benefit for you involved, that's not the greatest avoda that you could have done. The greatest avoda is saying, God, I don't care what I get out of it. I don't care what I'm getting from it. It doesn't matter to me. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. The famous story with the Gra, that he got the S, he was looking for an Esrog, and the only Esrog that he could get is an Esrog that the guy said, I'll give it to him if I get his mitzvah. And the Gra said, I'll take it. I'll give him the schar of my mitzvah, because I want to do a mitzvah without getting the schar for it. That's what the Gra said. The greatest avoda that a person can do, the greatest service to God that he can do, is to do something for him, not for yourself. To do it purely for the sake of heaven. Now here we go. Avram Avinu was told all these tremendous things in this Nevuah. But we got to remember something. A prophecy is not very clear. The only person who had a clear prophecy was Moshe Rabbeinu, where God spoke directly to Moshe and it went directly to the people. It's the only person who had that. Every other Navi has a vision in his head. The vision is whatever HaKadosh Baruch wants to tell him, there's something that a God wants to tell him, and it can be translated in many different ways. It could be a huge bracha, but it could be something else entirely. He was told the following. Avram Avinu was told, Now, Avram Avinu could have translated that in the simplistic way. Go to Eretz Yisrael, I'll give you rewards. And he had a Yetzer Hara. What was the Yetzer Hara doing? Yetzer Hara was standing behind Avram Avinu and saying, you can finally have children. You can finally become rich and famous. You'll finally have the money to be able to pay for the Achnasas Orchim, bring people into your house, and you'll be able to go serve them sudas and show them what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The Satan was standing right there, standing with Avram Avinu, and said, it's good for you, Avram Avinu. Do you know how many great things you'll get out of this? Do you know how many great things you can get out of becoming famous and rich and everything? Everybody will know you. Everybody will become Jewish. Everybody will become this tremendous person who serves God. This is going to be the greatest trip of all time. Avram Avinu took that satan and knocked him down and said, that's not why I'm going. I'm not going because of me, because of the rewards that I'm going to get from this. He translated the pasuk as Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What is Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, whatever you want to say, the mitos that they stood for, that it's the God of Chesed, the God of Gvura. Avram went to reveal, to be Megala into the world, the greatness of God, how he's the God of Chesed, how he's the God of Gvura, of greatness, of strength, and the God of Tiferes, of splendor, of everything out there in the world. He went there for that reason. He threw down the first pshat in Rashi. He said that's not pshat. The Davar Acher is what Avram went for. What was the Nisayon? The test was, would you go for the rewards involved, and that's the reason why you're going? Or are you going to go for the right reasons? How are you going to go? Says the Maril, Lech Lecha, he went, and he only had in mind, Kasher Dibur Elav Hashem. Only as God told him to do. He didn't have a single thought of getting hanah from it. He didn't translate the psukim that way. He didn't even translate the nevuah that way. He didn't even think he was going to get children from this. He had no idea. And that's why later on in the parsha, God is speaking to him and he says, when am I going to have children? What do you mean, when are you going to have children? God promised you children. Don't worry. God promised it to you. You don't have to ask any questions. The pshat is, he never knew he was going to have children. Because when it says that I'm going to give you, eschol goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation, he translated that as, I'm going to let you reveal the chesed of God in the world. That's how he translated it. He had no idea that it was referring to children. He knocked out that pshat. And that's what he's doing. He wasn't doing it la'anasu as well. And that's the first pasuk. Lech lecha la'anascha. Go for your own benefit, Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu didn't go for his own benefit. He refused to go for his own benefit. He only went kasher diber elav Hashem. Only in order to do the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that reason, without any other reason, that was the pure test. Who can pass that? Who in the world can pass that test? To go for no other reason, God promises you all the great things in the world and you ignore it? Not only you ignore it, you don't even translate it that way. You say, no, that's not pshat. That's not pshat. It means like this. You retranslate it and you know you're not going to get anything from it and you go anyway? That's how great Avram Avinu was. That is pshat behind why that's similar to the Akedah. The Akedah is Mesiras Nefesh. It's giving up not of his soul, of his own child. This Mesiras Nefesh was giving up of himself. He didn't think he was getting anything from it. He thought he was going to have to give his life for the rest of his life serving God by making other people into a nation that believes in God. He thought he was going to have to spend his life walking around to other people telling him that. He gave up his whole life for it. That was the test over there. All right, here's something strange. Avram Avinu has promised the land for his children.
But what's the test? I mean, Rashi says, L'hanoscha. That was what Hashem wanted him to do.
No, if you translate it, L'hanoscha, then you're wrong. Then you didn't pass the test. If you translate it as, go because I want you to go. Because I told you to go. And you don't have any mind, nothing else in mind. You don't translate it, that first shot in Rashi, then you pass the test. That was the idea behind it. Here's something strange. Avram is chesed, right? He wants only good things for the entire world. He invites over everybody else. He wants to have everybody over. Everybody over at his house. He's this big guy of machnes oreach. He wants to have everyone over. When God tells him, I'm going to give Israel to your kids, that's over here, I'll give your children this land. Why wouldn't Avram say, what are you going to do with the Canaan? Why didn't he say, the Canaan have the land? I don't want to take the land away from them. Is he that selfish that he wants it for his kids? Isn't that a strange question? He's being selfish. He wants it. Oh, my children are going to get it? Then good. What am I going to do with all these people? I don't care. I don't care what happens to these people. I mean, that's pure selfishness. Why in the world would he just agree to have it for his kids and not say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give it to the Canaan. I'll take a land that's uninhabited. I'll take the desert. That's a man of chesed. What kind of a person would do this? I'll kick everybody else instead of... So what? Say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let them keep this land. I don't have to keep it. What did he see that made him say, it's got to go to my kids? When it's not in their best interest.
Chesed involves
vura
sometimes.
No, not chesed of Avram Avinu. You're correct when it comes to Rachman. You're incorrect when it comes to Avram. Avram's chesed did not include any bit of gevura. Otherwise, that's Rachman. That's a combination of chesed and gevura known as Rachman. That's different. That's Yaakov Avinu's mitzvah, but not Avram. Avram should have said, give it to them. The idea of chesed is to give up of yourself to other people, to do things for other people. So give it to them, give it to the Canaan. He didn't need it. So look at this answer. This is an unbelievable answer. The Tver Shlomo, the Radomsker. We said the Radomsker last week. It's just that you can't get too much of him. Can't get too much of him. You notice he was sent throughout the whole land? He walked throughout the whole land. It says, Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Makom Shechem. Passed through the land until Shechem. Ad Elom Moreh, until this place called Elom Moreh. Vakanani Oz Ba'aretz, and the Canaan were in the land. That is a grossly overstated passage. There's no reason to say it. No reason to say it. It already says that he went and then afterward HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. Why do you have to say that he went to Shechem? What is this place? What does he want with that? Pshat is like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Avram, similar to what Tzvi was saying before, similar, that really there were bad things going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's bad for the Canaanim to be there. You have to be a very holy nation to take in the holiness of Eretz Yisrael and not get affected adversely by it, to not be punished from living in Eretz Yisrael. So what did he do? He took him through Eretz Yisrael. What did Avram expect to find? He went in, Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz, he went through the land looking for three things. Looking for, number one, are they Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Number one, are they Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim? That's number one. Number two, do they realize, maybe they're not Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe they don't make him king, but maybe they just realize that there's a God. They realize that there's a God out there. Or do they at least respect God? They respect that there is a God, even if they don't necessarily believe in it. Do they at least have that? He went looking for those three things. You ready for this? Ad, Ayin Dalid, is the big Ayin and the big Dalid of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The big Ayin and the big Dalid. That's Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Were they Ad? Were they using that Ad in the correct way? Makom is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. HaMakom refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Were they looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and seeing Him in all places, even if they didn't necessarily go together with Him? Do they realize that God is out there in the world? Shem is Shem Kvod Malchuso. Shem Kvod Malchuso. Do they at least, do they realize that there's Kvod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do they at least realize there's honor to God? Do they at least realize that? He looked through and he couldn't find anything. All he saw was Elon Mora. Elon is the gematria of 86. The gematria of Elohim, as in Din, Midas Adin, pure Midas Adin, that something was going to be, they were going to be punished. And it's also the same gematria as Hateva, that they all believed in nature. They believed in natural occurrences. And they didn't believe that God was the one that was ruling over everything. He saw that Elon and Moreh, this is where you get Moreh is Mar Vav Hey. They made bitter the Vav and the Hey of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. They made bitter the Olam. There's two parts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. The Yud Hey is up for Shemayim and the Vav Hey is down here on earth. And they were made bitter the Vav Hey that's down here on earth. They destroyed that Vav Hey. When he saw that Elon Moreh, that Kanani Oz Ba'aretz, that the Kanani was destroying the land, that's when Avram got that appearance, that Vayera Elav Hashem El Avram, that's why I'm giving your children the land. Because the Kanani, it's bad for them to have this land. I know you want the Kananim to just stay in this land, but it's bad for them to have it. It's better for them to be kicked out and for your children to have this land instead. And that's why Avram Avinu accepted it. With his pure chesed, knowing that it was better for us, for our children, for his children, and better for them. Better for the Goyim not to be inside there. It's better for them not to be able to have this punishment, and that's the idea. But let's talk about Avram Avinu's avoda. What was his avoda like? We all know about the Kivshan Esh. Strange though, it's not written in the Torah anywhere. But that he was thrown inside a Kivshan Esh, he was thrown inside a massive fire, and that Nimrod and all the people around there yelled out, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is God, Hashem is God. That they all realized that there was a God from Avram being thrown inside that Kivshan Esh by Nimrod. Why didn't he ever do that in Eretz Yisrael? I mean, there were times where he went against the four kings. Why didn't he fight Sodom? Why didn't he go up against Amora? Sodom, Amora, all those cities that were full of evil? Why didn't he go up to them and fight them? Or show them that there's something wrong? Not only, Avram didn't go near Sodom. He didn't go near it. He stayed as far away as he could from Sodom. And eventually we know Sodom was destroyed. When Sarah went down to Mitzrayim, when they went down to Mitzrayim and Sarah was captured by Paro, why didn't Avram fight him? Why didn't he fight him? Don't tell me, well, it was only him and one other guy. Him and Eliezer were able to defeat all the four kingdoms up there. Here he had Eliezer, he had Lot, he had all his avodim with him. He went down to Mitzrayim, he saw Paro. Why in the world did he not fight the palace? Why not go up against the palace? Isn't that strange? What in the world is going on with Avram? In the Kivshan Esh, he goes and he gets thrown inside. He's willing to kill himself for God. Willing to throw himself in the fire for God. In Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan, what does he do? He sits in his tent and he waits for people to pass by. What happened to Superman? What happened to this guy? Why in the world doesn't he go out there and go do something? Why doesn't he do it? What happened? So the Kedushas Levi Reb Levi Yitzchak, Miberdichev, says there's two different avodas that a Jew can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. And this gets a little crazy. There's serving God with Mesiras Nefesh, giving up of your soul and willing to give everything you have to God. And then there's serving God with Torah and Mitzvos. You're serving God purely by doing the mitzvos and doing the Torah. There could be mesiras nefesh involved, but you're not really giving of yourself entirely. If you serve God with mesiras nefesh, literally willing to lose your soul, like a person in Russia who's willing to go up against the KGB and everything else in order to do mitzvos, if a person's willing to do that, that person is called ayin. It's like he's not in this world. He's not part of this world. The reward for that is so great, it can't be defined in this world. It's ayin. It's not there. It's not seeable. You can't picture anything. There's no reward directly down on earth for such an avodah. You're willing to serve yourself like that, to give up your soul to God? It's unnatural. There's nothing to do with this world. It's not a physical thing to do. It's not a normal thing to do. That type of a guy who serves with Mesiras Nefesh gets absolutely no reward in this world. However, if you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Torah and mitzvos, by serving God with the mitzvos that He gives you and that He tells you to do, that's yesh. There's something there. You're doing something physical, an act inside this world that can be rewarded with something physical inside this world. And God will reward you directly in this world for those mitzvos that you do and that Torah that you keep. That's easy enough to do. In Chutz La'aretz, we know the Avos didn't keep the Torah. The Ramban says they didn't keep the Torah. In Chutz La'aretz, there was no sheiches to Torah and mitzvos and things like that. So what did Avraham Avinu do? He served God by giving up himself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was willing to kill himself for God, if that's what it went to. He was willing to throw himself against people. He fought people. He would go up to people and say, what's wrong with you? How could you serve Avodah Zarah? He would sit there in an idol shop and destroy all the idols. Is that mutter? Is it mutter to go inside somebody else's idol shop and destroy all the idols inside there? Is that mutter? It is Aser Gomer. Aser Gomer. It's Gizela. It's Gizela. What in the world are you doing? One of the reasons why you're not, why we don't say it in the Torah, the Shlach Kaddish says, why we don't mention Kivshin Ha'esh in the Torah. The reason why we don't mention it is because people would have thought that the halacha is that you're allowed to go and break idols when somebody has an idol. And that's not the halacha. It's not the halacha. The bechlal is not the halacha. So we didn't put it in the Torah, so you didn't learn a bad lesson from it. It's an unbelievable thing. Avraham Avinu knew that he wasn't supposed to do this. But he had no mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz. So he went and he was Moser Nefesh. He went up against Terach and said, you're wrong, Dad. He went up against everybody else and said, what are you worshipping idols for, you idiots? You're idiots. What are you thinking? He went up to them and he was willing to kill himself. He went to Nimrod and said, I'll throw myself into a fire for God. Because that's the avoda that he had over there. He couldn't be rewarded for that. It was all lying. He was like he wasn't in this world. So when God said, I want you to get rewarded, he needed to send him to Eretz Canaan. That way he'd be able to keep mitzvos. He'd do the yesh avoda. An avoda where he could actually be rewarded. And then he said, if you go there, then you'll get these rewards. You'll get this and you'll get that. And then you'll be able to get the shefa. You'll be able to pull something, the yesh, down from Shemayim. Your mitzvos that you're doing something with will be able to pull something down from Shemayim and bring it in this world. That's what he wanted to do. That's the real scar in this world. That's the idea of what he wanted to say. And that's why the Kivshin Ha'esh isn't here at all. That's the point. I wrote something else over here. That's pshat. Forgot. That's the pshat on Melki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Shem ben Noach came to Avraham Avinu and he offered him lechem v'yayin. Lechem v'yayin. What's the remez? Says the Radamsker, the lechem refers to a kohen gadol. Something that's, I guess you want to call it baked, thrown inside an oven. Something that in which the Kohen Gadol serves with Mesiras Nefesh, a korban, so to speak. A lechem is brought up as a korban. That type of a thing is called, ayin. That type of thing is called not in this world. No sheiches to this world. That's the ayin in this world. That's what the lechem stands for. It's the bread of ayin. It's the bread of nothingness. And then there's also yayin. Yayin stands for the sodos of Torah. The sodos of Torah that we always call, it's called yayin, it's called dvash, it's called mayim, it's called this, cholov, it's called over the place. It's the yayin that they, nichnas yayin yatzesod, is what they say regarding the Torah itself. That's the yayin that he brought. He brought both those things and he was able to get all those things out. Sodas HaTorah. Those are the two different parts, and that's what Shem brought to him. He said, you're an expert in the avoda of Chutz La'aretz. You're an expert in the avoda of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Canaan. There's so much more to say about that with Shem. Who was Shem? The one guy who knew what it was like to serve in Chutz La'aretz. He was the one guy who knew what it was like to be a Ben Noah, to serve. He had a yeshiva full of people who were serving Ba'ayin. And he realized that, and he brought over to Avraham, and he said, you have the Ayin and you have the Yesh. You have both of those things. Oh, there's so much to be able to say about that, but that's that for now. Alright, so he had that avoda, and he was Moser Nefesh. And we know they had Nefashos. And there it comes into the Nefesh Asher also asu becharan in pasuk hey. That's a nefesh asher asu becharan. He had these souls that he made in Charan. People, this has been bothering me literally all week, and I tried looking up as much as I could on it. And I'll tell you a little bit of what I found over here. First of all, what does asu mean? The souls that they made in Charan. So you look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Asher asu becharan, sheikh nisan tachas kanfi ashchina." He brought them under the wings of the Shechina. Avram megayir sanoshim, Sarai megayir sanoshim. Right? Avram was megayir the men, Sarai the woman. Umalalem akasu kilo asom. The pasuk makes it as if they made them, as if they made them. All right, this gets a little hard. Just the Shlo HaKadosh says there are other ways to make to be molid neshamos, to make gerim. This is very, very hard to understand. It's just I'm going to say it quickly. If a person has tashmish to kedusha, he's together with his wife in the holiest possible way, even though it's a tashmish that cannot have children. For example, there's birth control involved. Or the wife is already pregnant, or the wife is already, she's already given birth, and it's right after she gave birth, and there's no way their wife is going to have a baby from that. That tashmish de kedusha can create neshamos in shemayim, that eventually are molded into the gerim, that become the gerim here on earth. When Avram and Sarai were together, they were not able to have children. She didn't have a womb. So how was it mutter for Avram to be together with Sarai? He was wasting the zera HaKadosh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. He should have waited until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's mutter to be with Sarai. How could he waste himself with Sarai? The answer is because a tashmish to kedusha causes crazy things in Shemayim. And every time he was together with Sarai with great thoughts, with Kadosh thoughts, he created new neshamos on earth that came down and eventually became the Gerim. They were literally nefashos asher asu bechara. They made them to the tashmish. Avram with his thoughts made the men, and Sarai with her thoughts made the woman. That's one way of saying it. Tfar Shlomo says you can do so through chidushei Torah. If you learn Torah and you come out with a chiddush in Torah, you come out with a brand new thing that nobody has ever come up with before in their lives, that can be molded on a shema in Shemayim that will be added on to a goy in the land, and that goy will end up becoming a ger. So the gerim that he made was from the Torah that he ended up having. Now listen to this. Tfar Shlomo says, yes, again, the Radamsker, don't think that the Achnasis Orchim that Avram did was just Stam. He invited over whoever wanted to come. If you wanted to go to Avram Avinu's house, you had to be a very special person. The Zohar says, Zohar brings down, that in order to get at Avram Avinu's meals, you had to sit under an eshel, under a special tree. And if the tree put its shade on you, then Avram Avinu would serve that person food. And if the person then would go to the mikvah, then HaKadosh, but then Avram Avinu would let him get drinks. The guy had to have an avodah. He had to sit there. And if the Eshel did not cover him up, Avram Avinu wouldn't serve him a thing. He'd say, I'd like you to get out. You know where the raya is? Lot. Avram Avinu is such a machnes oreach. He brings in everybody from all the corners of the globe. He brings everybody in, right? How could he kick out Lot? Kicked out Lot. Said to Lot, get out of here. I don't want to be with you anymore. You got to go. Wherever you go, I'm going the opposite way. It's such a machnes oreach. You're not even allowing it. Your first cousin, you're not going to allow him to be with you? Oh, no, his nephew. Lot was his nephew, I'm sorry. You're not going to allow your nephew to be with you? That's a machnes oreach? The pshat is, he wasn't stam a machnes oreach. They just invited over whoever it was. You had to be holy to make it Avram Avinu's meal. None of us would have been able to be at Avram Avinu's meal. None of us would have been able to be there. There was an avoda to be at Avram Avinu's meal. Avram Avinu's meal is an unbelievable meal that nobody was able to get to. That's a pshat behind it. There is so much to be able to understand. If they had that chidush HaTorah, their neshama was from those chidush HaTorah, it went inside them, Avram Avinu knew it. The Eshel took it in, and then he knew that was the nefashos asher asu becharan. That's why he only had 318 avadim. Why not more? Just have as many avadim as he wants. Take in all these people. He couldn't get more than 318 people. He could have. He only wanted He was only the only people that were zoche to be the avadim of Avram Avinu were 318 people, and that's it. Nobody else was allowed in. A couple people were allowed in at certain times. A couple people were there. Now, does that mean that Avram Avinu didn't serve bread to other people? Of course. course, he probably had another meal, you know, that he served outside, where those people who didn't deserve to be at his meal, they got to eat food and everything. And he would do the exact same thing. He made them make brachos and realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu and do everything. But sit at Avraham Avinu's meal, you have to be a special person. You have to be a person who had a shorish neshama, who had a neshama from that. What happened to these people? 318 avodim. What happened to them? Where'd they go? Did they go down with the Jews to Mitzrayim? Bothering me all week. Bothering me all week. So I know Reb Chanoch Mealexander. I say him pretty much every year. Reb Chanoch Mealexander says, it's a funny, if you had a Rebbe like Avraham Avinu, you had a Rebbe that was like an Eisha Torah rabbi, like got out there, was just like, hey, you're doing great. Great job. Unbelievable job. Unbelievable. You're doing awesome. I can't believe how big of a tzaddik you are. You're an unreal person. Nobody's like you. You have a Rebbe like Avraham Avinu, and then all of a sudden Yitzchak Avinu gets up. Yitzchak is Gvura. And Yitzchak's Midas Adin. He just gets up there and says, shut up and sit down and learn. Sit down and learn. He was like the Musar man who got up and said, you're worth nothing. You're a worm. You deserve to die. You don't deserve to be here. What is wrong with you? You think you can learn from me? You have a Rebbe like that. They couldn't take it. Reb Chanoch Mealexander said, when Yitzchak became the Rebbe, they all left. Every single one of them left. And none of the Nefashah Shasa Bukharan survived. They all left. I saw somewhere years ago, and I can't remember where I saw it, and I can't find it anymore. They went with Eliezer. According to the Yalkut Shimoni, Eliezer was Og Melech HaBasha. Yalkut Shimoni in Kuf Tes brings down that one of the opinions that Eliezer Avad Avram went to Shemayim, that he was Nichnas, he went into Gan Eden alive. That's also mentioned in Derech Eretz Zuta, the Gemara Derech Eretz Zuta, at the end of the first parak. He went to Shemayim alive, or he became Og Melech HaBasha. I don't think you can find two opposite extremes anymore. He became Og Melech HaBashan. Who are the people of Bashan? I remember seeing this, and I don't remember where. The Nefesh Shasu Bacharim. All these Nefesh Shasu Bacharim were the people that went to Og, and they were the people of Bashan. I can't remember where I saw it. I haven't found it in years. That's number two. I got another one. I just found it this year. At the end of the Yalkut Shimoni, in Parshas Lech Lecha, he says, what happened to all the people that Avraham Avinu gave a bris milah to? What happened to them? The word is, Kol avadim shenimolu im Avraham Avinu, all the avadim that got a bris milah with Avraham Avinu, lo niskayimu, they didn't survive, lo heim, lo zarum bi Yisrael. Neither they nor their children have been a Yisrael. Lama Mullen, why give them a bris milah? Bishvil Tara, to give them purity. So it's quoted from a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Parakhov Tess. It's not in my Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. So I looked it up in a different version of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It's there. It's a one-liner. It says it. It's a quote from Rabbi Yochanan. I tried looking up the Radal. Rabbi David Luria on the side. Rabbi David Luria apparently didn't have that gear, so he didn't write anything on it. I have no idea what that means. So where'd they go? I've been looking for an answer for years. I haven't found it yet. Let's try to understand at least one of those guys. Where's Lot? What happened to Lot? How could a guy be with the holiest person of all time and then all of a sudden start a fight with him between the Roim, start a fight with him and then go to Sodom? This Parsha is full of shockers. Like, where would he go? Like, alright, he goes down, you're going to go down a little bit. If you can't survive like Chicago, then you go to like St. Louis. You don't go to New York. You know, like, it's so far off. It's so totally gone from where you are. What was your Havamina to go to Sodom? Well, why would he even think to go to Sodom? Okay, so here we have some killer vorts over here. The killer vorts are like this. Okay, every tzaddik, their point behind life is to bring up the Kiddusha in the world and to help out those things that are Tameh to make it Kadosh. You take a bowl of Cholent, you can almost say pure Tuma, and make a bracha on it, it becomes pure Kiddusha. You make a bracha on the whole Cholent, you make it into Kiddusha. You take water and you make a bracha on it, and you make it into Kiddusha. You can do that by almost anything. You can take Tuma. Some things are so full of Tuma, you can't make a bracha on it and makshir it up. Like pig meat. You can't make a bracha on it and makshir it up. There's nothing you can do. It's too far down into Tuma. But certain things that they're down there, they're too physical in this world, you can make a bracha on it, you can just makshir it. Certain people have the ability that when they walk around, they can bring up the Kiddusha of the land and be mila those nitzotos HaKadoshim and bring everything up. But But if you can't do that, then what happens is the tumah grabs onto you, and it sticks to you, and you can't get rid of it. When Avram and Lot went down to Mitzrayim, note, up until there, Lot was good. Lot was fine. Everything was happy and go lucky. Everybody was happy. But when Avram and Lot went down to Mitzrayim, when they came back up, all of a sudden there was a fight between the Roam of Lot and the Roam of Avram. The shepherds got into a big fight. What happened? You know what happened? Because Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim and took the tumah of Mitzrayim and turned it into Kedusha. He turned all the tumah that he found and turned it into Kedusha. Lot tried doing it and failed miserably and became more tameh. Don't join a program where you can be brought down by that program. Don't join something. Like if there's a program that's out there for people that are doing things that you don't want to be doing, don't go in there thinking, I'll be able to survive that. You might not. You might become worse. Avram was able to survive and overcome it, and he never had any taivas, and he didn't have to worry. Lot saw Mitzrayim and was like, hey, I like doing this stuff. I like this. Why can't I be like him? Why can't I be like him? The first lesson that a person in Eretz Yisrael has to know before he comes to America is, do you want to be like Avram, or do you want to be like Lot? Lot fell into America. Fell into America. He's just like, alright, I'll just survive. I'll take care of whatever I need to take care of. And he fell. Avram went to America knowing it's going to be hard. I got to work on it. I got to bring up the Kedusha. You got to go there for that reason. If you don't go in with that reason, you're going to be Lot. Because of that, Lot all of a sudden got into a fight. All of a sudden it became, the Maril says, that the pshat is he saw himself as equal to Avram. Started having gaiva, saying, why is Avram Avinu any greater than me? I'm also rich. I also got all the things. I even have children before Avram Avinu had children. Started thinking, I'm equal to Avram Avinu, if not greater. All of a sudden, he started to have a gaiva because of where he went down to in Mitzrayim. And once he had gaiva, all of a sudden, by Yichu, you ready for this? By Yichu is Lot, here it is. I got to find it. I used a different chumash. Hold on. By Yichu is Lot. They took Lot. I'm not going to find it. I don't remember where it is. By Yichu is Lot. Here we go. By Yud Beis. By Yichu is Lot ves Rechusho ben Achi Avram. They took Lot and his riches, the nephew of Avram. Should it be the opposite way? By Yichu is Lot ben Achi Avram ves Rechusho. They took Lot, the nephew of Avram, and his riches. Why are you separating? Because his riches, his gaiva, got in the way of him being able to make any rational decisions. He didn't realize that Avram Avinu was so much greater than him. He thought, I'm equal. I can do the same things as him. So what does the Meshech Chochma say? Listen to this. Look at the process. In the beginning, Yud Beis Dalet, Vayelech Avram Kajirir Allah Hashem, Vayelech Ito Lot. Ito, with him, Mamish. Ito. As if he was Mamish, part of Avram Avinu. In the beginning, Lot realized who Avram Avinu was, and was tough, was matfil himself. He made himself secondary to Avram Avinu. He kissed his feet and said, Avram Avinu, you're so much greater than me. Let me go along with you. Please let me be with you. That was number one. He was on such a high level. But then it slowly but surely went down. Yud Gimel Aleph. Yud Gimel Aleph. After Mitzrayim, Vayal Avram Mitzrayim, Hu V'Ishto V'Chor Shelo, V'Lot Imo Hanegba. Lot went with him, still with him, but instead of Ito, it's Imo. A little bit apart. Just a little bit apart. And that led him to Yud Gimel He. It says, V'Gamla Lot Ha Holeches Avram, who felt that he walked with Avram. Lot, Holeches Avram, Hayatzonu Vakar Olim. All of a sudden, oh, I have all these riches. All of a sudden, he started thinking, I'm equal to Avram Avinu. I'm the same thing as Avram Avinu. I think I can do this just as well as he can. I'm going to go to Sodom and bring up all those people like Avram Avinu used to. I'm going to make my own Nefasho Sesher Asu Becharon. I'm going to do it on my own. Said Avram Avinu, I can do it, you can't. And even me, I'm not willing to do it. Not anymore, not in Eretz Canaan. That's not my job anymore. Lot said, no, I'm going. And I'm going to bring them up. Just like you tried to bring up all the Kedusha Mitzrayim, I can do it in Sodom. And he went, and he failed. That's Lot. A guy who thought so hard, so much so, that his daughters were fooled. And when the daughters, think about this, we're going to see this. The daughters, when they were running out, right? And we know Iris, the wife of Lot, turned around and became a pillar of salt. When they ran out of the city of Sodom, when it was being destroyed, they ran up. After they went to Tzoar, they ran up the mountain. The daughter said, there's nobody left in the world. We're going to have children. We'll be together with our father. What about Avram Avinu? What about Avram Avinu? if Lot survived, don't you think Avram Avinu survived? Lot was so convincing, was so much of a gadol in the eyes of other people, that to his daughters, they thought that Lot was greater than Avram Avinu. And that's why he went to Sodom. That's why he went in the first place, to bring up the Kedusha of Sodom. That's what they thought. They thought if Lot just barely survived, there's no way Avram survived. They didn't think there was anyone else left in the entire world. Lot was the new Noah. And that was it. That's how great Noah Lot was. That's also how much he failed. He had the ability to be the equal of Avram Avinu and failed miserably because of the gaiva that he got when he went down to Mitzrayim. That's the power. Alright guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos.